Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 166 for July 27th, 2021. Mm-hmm. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So we're recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and today I have arranged for John Nayarati of Trading Gods to join us, and you should be seeing his screen right now. And also the option professor is back to moderate, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, great, David. Good to have everybody here today. We got a great guest, and we also have got a lot to talk about. Big reversal here today, and we'll have to see what these earnings come out after the close and see if that juggles things about. But a good group of stocks that you guys want to talk about. So again, without further ado, let's introduce John from Trading Gods and give a little background on yourself, a little background on what's going on at Trading Gods before we get into the material.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Always enjoy working with you. And David, nice chatting with you as well, and welcome everybody. Happy to have the opportunity to discuss what's going on. I always call him the prof, you know, the option professor, and he's one of the people I really respect in this business a lot, and it's always a great honor to work with you guys. So Trading Gods, we're about options, much like option professor. We buy and sell options is our main thing. We do our credit spreads, iron condors, debit spreads. And then lately I've been experimenting. I'd like to talk with you a little about this, Jim, as well, with butterflies. And I've been looking into unbalanced butterflies, reverse butterflies. I know you know more about that than I do, mm-hmm. but I'd be love to, I think that'd be worth chatting about, because I think ever since the virus hit, there's been a lot of interest in options, obviously,
right.
And they really do provide some opportunities which regular stocks don't. So my background is I've been a professional trader since about 2016 or something like that. I started trading back the initial financial big meltdown in 2000, the tech wreck. My 401k went, you know, became a 201k in about 2 minutes. I figured, well, maybe, you know, that's not the best way to go, you know, the stocks, bonds, cash thing. So I started with that, then did well through 2008. And so here we are working with options.
Sure.
I wrote a book called Super Sectors, How to Outsmart the Market Using Sector Rotation. That was published by John Wiley & Son. And I've been published all over the internet. You know, MarketWatch had a column there. USA Today had a column there for a while. I've been on CNBC, all the regular spots, you know. Right. That's basically what I'm about. So it's an exciting time. As you mentioned today, I think we're at a bit of a turning point, perhaps, in the markets in the world, and it'd be fun to talk about.
You bet. All right, well, let's get into this without further ado. The first one is CRISP Therapeutics. This was a real big mover up towards $200 and $220 in January, but the bloom definitely came off the rose. So what are you thinking here? It went down to 100, bounced back up. Now it's back at 117. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, let's start, if we could, just for a moment. I've got the SPX on my screen here, and I always start with that. You know, that's, you know, a proxy for the major market. So that gives me a view of where we are, you know, in the big picture. And so if you look here, we're still okay in spite of today's sell-off. It's down just 0.5% now. And we'll talk more about these charts later. But Jim, you're going to have to help me with the symbols, because I'm
it's
on
a
CR.
Yeah, this one is CRSP.
CRSP. Okay.
And it was down 210 today on volume of about 1 million shares.
Yep, I see it here. So yeah, 1.5% decline. So I don't know anything about these guys, what they do, but I can tell you from the chart. So I'll just, maybe a little orientation for the chart would be a good place to start. So
yeah.
Standard candlestick bars. You can see this thing made a high back late June of 169. Interestingly, usually when you have a new high like that, that's, you know, it generally keeps going, you know, if you're making new highs. This thing obviously didn't turn around. So let's start at the top there. Those red arrows going up are the upper Bollinger Band. Down at the bottom, the purple arrows are the bottom Bollinger Band. The blue down pointing arrows, that's the midpoint on the Bollinger Band array. And then I just used three moving averages. The blue is the 8 EMA, the yellow is the 20, and the pink is the 50. And then I have a standard deviation chart down there. And then down at the bottom, I used a DMI oscillator for momentum and kind of a trading signal. So you can see how that stacks up here. Right about, was that about July 13th, things started looking not so good for these guys. And the sell signal and the DMI kicked in, everything went south, moving averages crossed over. Now it's below all three moving averages. So this would obviously be at least a hold. And then it's important, and we won't do this with all of these, but we'll just look. I always then look at the weekly, because you want to look at multiple time frames. games. So the weekly is looking a little better, but I would say it's more neutral. Just had a little bit of a sell here and kind of scrambled up with the moving averages. So my view of this one would be certainly in a cash position, wouldn't be involved in this at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to throw a couple of comments in if it's okay.
Please, yeah, let's have a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Because some of the, I'm not looking at exactly the same stuff you are. So if you put them together, you get a sandwich, right?
Yep.
Basically, this is a company that's losing money, but it's really one of the top holdings in the ARK fund for the genome. It's ARKG. So obviously they're an innovative company and they're supposed to be a disruptor as well. The numbers are the numbers, right? And so basically the 50-day and the 200 are inverted to the downside at 125 and 131. So that's not a great setup. And I'm noticing the volume has been drying up. The average 200-day volume was 1.7 million shares a day, and we're down to 1 million shares today. And so this is a company that looks like it's got a lot of support. Like if you pull it back, is 100 look like a lot of support? Because that's where it took off from and that's where it stopped. So would you say like last year's highs and this year's lows, which seem to come in, I guess, around $80 maybe, might be about the line in the sand where you'd have to definitely want it to be above there, even if you're holding it long-term?
Yeah, yeah, you got that short-term one there, 95. If we pull back to a two-year chart here and then zoom in on this, it's kind of ugly there, send by just a second. So yeah, if we go back, like you said, this 100 looks like a good place to stop for sure. And if we back up just a little bit, yeah, I would go with your 100 would be, you know, right there would be a good spot.
Yeah, and it's definitely sold out. So I mean, 220 to 117, they've already taken over $100 out of the stock. So that's got to have wiped out a lot of people. But now's the key is holding that 100 number and maybe getting back above 125 and 131 before you think about just catch a falling knife down here, right?
Yep, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a great company because obviously they're doing innovative things. And I remember them in the news recently, but I'm not exactly sure what they were doing, but it was very, very innovative and very, very disruptive. And basically some very serious illnesses they're involved in. So with, you know, their technology. So it's definitely got a story to tell, and it's a lot better story at 100 than it was at 220, apparently, but we'll have to see if it can get its leg. So that Kathy Woods over at ARK, you know, they do a whole bunch of research. So they believe in it because it's, I think it's still in their fund, one of the top 10 holdings. So
yeah, she's an interesting story. I've never met her, but certainly she is a newsmaker and she's taken some interesting positions, no doubt. And she's, I don't know her again, and I don't know how it's going to all turn out, but she could be really right or really wrong, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And well, what she's involved in is in stocks that are basically trading at very high valuations because they're expecting these companies to really be gangbusters in the years ahead. Yeah, now, you know, that you, like you say, carries the risk of periods of times people don't want those type of stocks. And obviously in the last bit of time here since January, people have decided they didn't want this high valuation grow into your valuation type of stock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I would say if I were a CRISPR guy, I would wait for this to, you know, turn back around, go back above the MAs and go back to green on the DMI. And then I think it'd be a good buy.
And, you know, my personal opinion is, you know, if I didn't really want to be involved in all this grunt work down here, I might say to myself, listen, give me my $117 and let's go out a year or two on a long-term option and see how I can replace this trade with a limited risk situation. So if the bottom does fall out, at least I've got limited risk. And if I go out a year or two, I mean, let's hope that this thing would get back on the bicycle by then. So replacing this thing, obviously at the higher price would have been the thing to do. But even now, if you're not sure that the 100 will hold, you know, a limited risk exposure to this type of thing. And you would imagine the calls must be a lot cheaper, right?
Oh, yeah. And the other thing people have to figure out, and I don't know exactly, you know, everybody, of course, you do this, I do this. You got to figure out what kind of guy you are. You know, are you trading a 5-minute chart or are you a swing trader?
Well, I think if you're in this kind of, if you're in this stuff on a short-term basis, you got to be blown out by now because the thing went from 220 to 117. So I would imagine some of the people out there are trying to hold it longer term, but holding it longer term has been kind of painful in the last 6 months.
Right.
So again, if you have a limited risk position way out there in time, and this thing has any story that's going to be told in the next 12 or 24 months, you might be able to play it with limited risk options and not have to worry about, you know, $100 drops anymore, you know?
Again, and sometime I would like to do an options program with you, because the options, we have options and they're so remarkable, you know. Anyway, let's move on here, but I appreciate that. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah. And like I say, that's what options are supposed to be. Obviously speculative vehicles, but they can also be used to replace or hedge risk, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to Telephone, which is, I think they merged with somebody and then they cut their dividend, which put them on the unpopular list, Telephone T. You know, they were all about the dividend that they were paying. And I think they joined up with somebody to get more content. But, you know, more content in this world is like, we already have plenty of content. We have plenty of streamers. And how many bills a month do you want with all these services, right?
Right. This is old Ma Bell. I think they're on their way to just being irrelevant. Personally, I mean, with everything that's going on now. And if you watch the Olympics this week, I mean, they got 80 different channels of streaming going on. And, of course, I don't even have a landline anymore. I'm not sure anybody does or why, you know. So anyway, it's a different thing. So he hit a high there. You know, I don't know what the spike was about, this 338. I don't know what that was about. And then since then, it went the other way. But again, this would be a seller, at least a not participate in them in at the moment.
Yeah, let's put up T-Mobile, because that's really one that people that have been making some money on. TMUS.
Yep. Hang on a second.
And you'll see the chart is a total different animal, and they're in kind of the same business in some respects.
Yeah. So this is the future. You know, I mean, T-Mobile and Verizon and all these people, this is no doubt the future. They just had this little turn down here with this kind of anticipated what's happening today a week or so ago. But yeah, I mean, this is the strong, this is what you want a chart to look like, you know?
Yeah. And if so, you want to play telephone stocks, this seems like a better one to be involved in than the other, right?
Absolutely. And regarding these MAs, I don't know how you run this, Jim, but so the blue, yellow, and red, so, you know, 820 and 50, and there's that old term called stacked EMAs. So when these are stacked like this, you know, blue and then yellow and then the pink, that's the strongest position. And then when the price is above all three of those, even better. So a little scrambled right here with what's going on right now. But again, a recent high at 150. This is the future. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. You know.
The next one up is another therapeutic, SRNE. So just by looking at these graphs, it looks like the therapeutics have been kind of pounded to the downside. This thing used to be $19 and it's down at $8. So obviously the bloom came off the rose with the therapeutics.
Yeah, hit the 11. Then again, we're seeing the same. Again, you can see how this, we picked this up about a week before or 2 weeks before today's action, you know. So that's a nice thing. And I know you do this as well. If nobody has a crystal ball, but you can get a little look into the future here and say, well, shoot, you know, let's pay attention to this, you know, because we forecast in what's happening today. So that's a good thing, you know. And again, if you go back to that SPX chart, overall, we're still okay. But these individual, particularly like you're pointing out here, the therapeutics and the telecoms, and as we'll see today, the fangs are definitely having some turbulence.
This is another one where the 50 is at 830 and the 200 at 870. So you're inverted to the downside. The company's got a tremendous amount of short interest, though, 16.24% short interest. So this could be a deal where the Reddit crowd who likes to go after short interest would be interested. But this looks like a better opportunity to go out a year or two and buy yourself some kind of a call exposure and see if there's anything to the story and put a cap on your risk. It just reeks because you're speculating on this anyway, let's face it.
Right.
And, you know, it's another one that's losing money, but obviously, you know, they're hoping they'll make money. But with the prices down like this, what do you got to figure? You got to figure the calls are pretty low.
Yeah. Same thing. And you're really, you're getting close to the recent low here at $6. I mean, that's almost,
you know, people don't realize if you go out a year or two, sometimes it's not all that much more money than if you only go out 6 months.
Right, right.
And if you're going to get four times the time for 20% more money, for six times the time on a call versus a 3 month option, I mean, it's sometimes worth ponying up some more money.
Oh, absolutely. I think people make a big mistake with options, you know, buying the way out of the money ones. You know, that's a lotto ticket.
Mm-hmm. And I think short-term ones that you don't have no time on the clock. Yeah,
make time your friend. and go into money and have some real, intrinsic value. You mentioned the Reddit card briefly. I think that's just worth taking one moment to talk about. I mean, that's a fascinating development where the little guy is having this basic uprising, fueled by social media and Reddit, Twitter, all that stuff. That's a fascinating development to me. I mean, because the little guy is suddenly, the tail wagging the dog and the hedge funds are getting burned. It's just an interesting story to watch, and how that ends up, or if it's a fad, or how that goes, is going to be really interesting to keep an eye on.
It probably has a lot to do with their balances at the end of the year. If they were in this stock doing Reddit stuff, obviously this one would be not a very good one. And if you're in some of the more popular ones like AMC, if the stock goes from $60 on the high and it ends up down at or 72 on the high and it goes down to 30, that'll clean out the fun crowd pretty quick. So I think as long as these things were paying off, they were very fun and popular. But when you go home to the house and explain that half the money's gone, honey, and I was just fooling around, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But, we'll have to see how that works. Probably has a lot to do with how the results are at the end. GLD is a market that has hit a low point in March, and right now it has held the low point in March. What are you thinking as far as this is concerned?
Yeah, well, if you look at this right now, it's just below the averages or a bit inverted. So I would say and you can see how the Bollinger Bands are coming together. So this is going to be ready to make a big move here. When the Bollinger Bands tighten up, then it tends to be charging or recharging for a next big move here. And let's take a look at the weekly here real quickly, just so we can get a comparison. So again, same thing is here on the weekly. We're all bunched up and charged up here. So this is going to depend on inflation, right, and the Feds. And I think that I would wait for a definitive move. And then this is going to be a big move, though, one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, right now, you got a good line in the sand at 155 area, whatever that low is, 157. Mm-hmm. And then you got the resistance coming in right above 170.
Yep.
Man, my personal feeling is gold's got a one-year moving average of about, on the graph that I look at about 1830. So if gold itself starts trading above 1830 and this thing starts breaking above 172, then I think I think maybe the door is opening.
Yeah, I think I would be, from a fundamental point of view, you've kind of got to be bullish on gold with all this talk about inflation and the devaluation, all that stuff. I mean, long run, I think gold is going to be, it's got to be bullish. I didn't think of the long run. And of course, this used to be the biggest ETF other than SPY.
It's got almost 6 million shares traded today, but I mean, it seems to be in a very defined range of 160, 180. Yeah. And so rather than play monkey in the middle, you're only really getting into this because you think there's a 20% move on the upside. And if there's a 20 or 40% move on the upside, it's got to go through 180. So
that's what I'd say.
Sometimes buying it at 180 on its way to 200 is better than buying it at 160 here and then sweat bullets for 6 months.
Exactly.
Nice to have that old momentum when you buy things. And this one, this one's meandering right now.
It is.
All right. This next one definitely has momentum because it fills everybody up with caffeine. This is Starbucks, SBUX. They announced their earnings after the close. I don't know how they went, but I do know that the price of coffee has gone through the roof. And I don't know if that's helping or hurting them. But I seen the aftermarket. It looks like it might be selling off.
Yeah. Well, you can't live without your Starbucks, right? So this is.
I buy the sleeves in a 12 pack box, so I get my cups of coffee for about 80 cents a piece, not $4 a piece.
Yeah, I make them at home. I buy the espresso.
They got a little sleeve. You throw in the hot water. Bingo, you're there.
Exactly. Well, this is pure. This is exactly what you want to see in a bullish chart. You got the stacked EMAs. You got green candlesticks. You got a recent high. Everything. The standard deviations are up. The momentum's up. Everything. This is a solid buy. And we won't take time to look at the weekly, but I'm sure it looks just the same.
Yeah. The only thing you could say is maybe it's getting a little bit overbought, the 50 and the 200 day. Let's take a look at where they're at real quick. Where are you here? The 50 is at 111 and the 200 is at 105. So, you're almost 20% above the 200 day. And sometimes that's an area that that can see a little bit of froth,
Yeah, you were overbought. I mean, obviously you can see we're right next to this upper Bollinger Band, So if you're interested in buying this, obviously, like you just described, if you could, a little reversion to the mean would be helpful. level and then come in again. But for a long-term situation, this looks as positive as it gets.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. This next one is called Rocket Companies. And I think it's the mortgage thing. I'm not 100%, but I believe it is.
ROKT is it?
Just RKT.
RKT. Yeah, so I've traded these guys before. This has been one of the Reddit ones. And like I say, it's Rocket Mortgage. You may have some other stuff in there. This is a great tradable. If you want to be a trader, you can see how the DMI goes up and down here. Gives you a lot of opportunities, long and short. They have high-priced options. If you want to be active, this is a good place to be. I think it's one of the Reddit ones. Maybe it comes and goes on that list, you know? So yeah, lots of action here if you want to be active. Right now, you know, it's inverted, all three averages. We got red going on here and it's a sell. But, you know, you could expect, just keep an eye on this. It's just, will turn around. I mean, look back in history here. This thing moves up and down regularly.
The volume has been really shrinking. 200-day volume average was 13 million. 50-day was 8 million. And today it did 3. So it's the ever shrinking volume, I guess.
Yeah, maybe that's it could be the Reddit guys backing out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. You would imagine something like that. Yeah. All right, well, let's look at the next guy here, which is Ping, P-I-N-G.
P like Paul.
Uh-huh. Ping like the golf clubs.
Ping Identity Holding Corporation. I don't know anything about these guys, but pretty bearish looking back from about mid-June.
Yeah.
And pretty choppy prior to that. So again, it depends what you want to do with this. Do you want to be an investor or a trader? Because if you look at a yearly, you know, it's been kind of ugly since March. Had this big down candle there in February. So this would be a tough one unless you have a real long-term outlook to, you know, some reason to feel good about this one.
Well, you got a line in the sand of last year's lows in the fourth quarter was around 20. Earlier this year, the low was about 20 on November 18th. Well, November 18th of last year was a low around 20. So the bottom line is that, you know, if you're holding on for dear life, but this is another one where if you're really interested in this thing, rather than holding on to something for dear life, maybe it's the idea to go out a year or two, look at what the calls are going for, lock in your price, lock in your risk, and go to bed, and then go to see how it pans out. Because the options have to be somewhat reasonably priced here, because the thing's been flat as a pancake now for 6 months.
Yep.
So, you know, implied volatility means low, and you would imagine low implied volatility would mean low premium.
Always a good time to buy, right?
Well, you know, especially if you go and stick it to the seller by making him liable to you for a year or two.
Right.
You know, I know if I was selling that option on this thing for a small premium with 1 or 2 years of time risk, I would not be very happy about that.
Nope.
So, all right, next guy up here is Microsoft, and that one announced their earnings today, I think.
Maybe after the close today, I think.
After the close, and let's see if with my machine, I guess it's selling off a little bit here.
Down just a little, 0.87 I've got. Let's see, Microsoft, let me find it. So this is one of the ones I track and trade a lot. So see what we can talk about here. So earnings to a dividend on 818, earnings on 727. So today after market close, expected to post record sales amid strong game cloud demand. So this is one of the, it's not a FANG, but I include it in the FANG complex. So, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, and then I add in Microsoft and Tesla. So, I mean, this is a nice looking chart all across the board, you know, and there's all kinds of options here. Excuse the pun, you know, if you can do bull call debit spreads, you can sell premium against this thing, you can be an investor and hold it, but they're one of the 900 pound gorillas, you know, no doubt. And of course, this is a huge week, Jim, as you know. I mean, it starts, you know, we got all these big guys are reporting this week. Microsoft today, I think Google is today also.
Yeah, I think some of them are coming down a little bit because I don't know if my screen's accurate, but it's looking like it's down $7 in the aftermarket. But I'm just looking at the 200-day moving average at 237. You get $50 above the 200-day average on a big stock like this. That's pretty extended. And so we'll have to see how things pan out. But
Well, this is a huge week for the FANG earnings, you know, and what's going to happen.
The fact looks like it's going on.
Yeah, are you looking at the aftermarket? I'm not seeing that because...
I saw something on my screen. I'm not sure. I don't know if David is out there where he can verify any of the aftermarket activity here. But
because this is going to be a big day this whole week. All the FANGs are reporting this week. So So, and as you know, and as everybody knows, I think they've been driving the S&P here for quite some time, you know. So it'll be
Microsoft is down almost 3% in the after hours.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So that's not a good sign.
So. No. Hey, listen, the whole market looks like it had every Tom, Dick and Harry long. So, I mean, when positioning is that one sided, you know, there's always a risk of what's happening right now.
Yeah. David, can you take a look at SPY in the aftermarket, just the S&P, SPY, the S&P ETF?
Should have an aftermarket. It's got to be down. It's 10, down like 20, just slightly, like 0.1%.
Okay, and then how about the Qs, the QQQ? Because that would be the tech ETF, you know, the NASDAQ. You can kind of get a comparison.
Yeah, the futures are actually up slightly. It's flat after hours.
All right. So maybe we'll see how this goes. This is going to be a real interesting week. Let's just leave it at that.
There was two other stocks that came out, Google and Apple. What are they doing in the aftermarket? A lot of people thought Apple might go up because it wasn't as bit up as the other.
Google is up almost 1.5% after hours. And what was the other one you said?
Apple. Did it take out 150?
That's up as well, 1.38%.
Yeah, so that's offsetting the Microsoft thing. That's why those indices are
Cool.
And the Qs or the NQ futures dropped a bit immediately after hours and has been drifting back up slowly.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, those are good indicators, good signs. I was trading this Google for a while on the earnings, and I got out of it. I don't know if you ever tried that, Jim, the volatility crush, where you can trade up into earnings and then get out, and it seems to work pretty well. Like everything else, not 100%, but it seems to work.
Well, let's jump over to Eli Lilly. Eli Lilly, LLY, very popular drug company.
Oh, yeah, and doing fine here again, bullish across the board, looks great. I like the one I like the best, of course, is Pfizer. I got the Pfizer shot in the arm, you know, and they're PFE, I think. It's not on our list here, but let's just make a comparison.
So I don't think it hadn't had nearly the move as Lilly.
No, yeah. So,
but it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, they're all looking real strong. And there's another one of these that I trade, which this is not quite the same picture. Novavax. Yeah. I don't even know what these guys do, but if you're a trader, great place to be. I mean, there's just a lot of action here, you know. Yeah, I didn't mean to take us off course, so we'll go back to LLY.
Yeah, basically the verdict is it's looking very good. First thing that would make me concerned, though, is I take 254 and I take away I think it was 186. Let me double check. Yeah, it's at 243 and the 200 days at 186. So you go 243 minus 186 and you get 57 divided into 186. And you're 30% above the 200-day moving average. And that is not exactly the best time to start going, hey, get me in. Unless it's going to 300 right away and then God bless you, you know.
Right. Again, that correlates with the upper end of that Bollinger Band. And Bollinger's are good for that. You know, you can use those as good places for reversion of the mean kind of trades. And they are getting a little more narrow. If you look back in June here, you had this big, the Bollinger Band's really widened out, you know, as a result of that one big move on the 7th. And now they've been narrowing up a little bit. So I think there'll probably be a reversion of the mean opportunity here down the road.
Yeah, or check out what the calls are going for and maybe collar the thing by, if it's at 243, check out what the 260 calls are going for and the 235 puts. And at least you got parameters around your equity.
Yep. But you got to figure, you know, big pharma, love them or hate them. Man, it's the name of the game these days, you know, with the new Delta virus and all that. So.
Well, this next one, I think, is a bank, KeyCorp. And these banks got nailed when interest rates dropped because obviously their spread went out the window. It's a different price than it was. It was at almost $24 a share, and now it's down to 19 area.
KEY,
200-day moving average is at 1860. So it's going down, basically pressing the 200-day.
Yeah, that's ugly. There it is, right? That's about as ugly as it gets, right?
But, if you were looking to buy on the dip, pressing against the 200-day would be the place to maybe take a bite.
Weekly's not looking too strong either right here. My point of view.
Simply because, you know, that interest rate differential has gone out the window because yields have dropped. So the bank's profit margin went out the window as well.
And I'm a big believer in these multiple time frames. You can even do three if you want, because, you know, if I start with the S&P, so it's still bullish. So that's where you start, have to. And then I go daily, weekly. You can do others if you want, but you want the wind at your back. And if, you know, if you're trying to buy the dip, and not, this is not a good example, as you know, but if you're trying to buy the dip, but overall is the tide is rising, you're going to get your head handed to you just about every time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. PE ratio on the thing's only 8 though. So you're certainly not buying an overpriced stock by any means. This would be the kind of deal, if you're a believer, that loan demand will come back next year and there's going to be a lot of, shall we say, and interest rates ultimately will go back up.
Yep.
Then you buy into this. If you don't think interest rates are ever going up again and you think loan demand is dead for a long time, then obviously this would not be your cup of tea.
Yeah. And that's the $1 million question. It used to be the $64,000 question. Now it's a multi-million-dollar question. What is going to happen with interest rates and inflation, right? I mean, that's where this all comes down.
Realistically, the Fed is not going to, be the leader in this thing. So until, they see unemployment go way back down again, and then to see this inflation sustain, I don't think they're in a rush to do anything. And like I say, this could be a deal where it's the tapering thing takes a long time. Then after the tapering, because they're obviously on the edge of their seat, whether this variant's coming back, you go into some kind of a lockdown again, and they're just going to have to print all this money anyway. So that's why I think that's why they're saying, listen, we're going to keep being easy here, because we're like one bad month of these things causing a lockdown, and you're all this money we're printing that you say we don't need, you're going to need.
Yeah, we are going to need. Yeah, and just today the CDC did that announcement about even if you're vaccinated, to wear a mask inside and all that. So, and now it's July, and October is right around the corner, right? So
Well, this next one is that guy Tom Lee of Fundstrat is a real believer in it, but it has not been paying off lately. And this is the small cap Russell, IWM.
Yeah, IWM. So
it looks like it's got some solid support at 210 if you're trying to defend a point.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Would you defend that 210, or do you think that 210 is going to be made out of paper mache?
Yeah, it might be all right. You know, the thing about this that disturbs me, I used to trade IWM a lot. I don't now. But this, we talked about this, you and I recently, this divergence.
Yeah,
you get a divergence like this, small cap from the S&P, that's an immediate red flag. And the transportations are the same way. You get those kind of divergences going, usually something's got to break, right?
Yeah. Well, like I say, this thing, if it were to get back above 225, I think would be interesting again. Wouldn't you think above 225 might be, or 226? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead,
The 50 days at 220. So
yeah.
What were the recent highs, around 225?
234, I see back here. And
how about in the last March? Few weeks or something?
Yeah, let me just get back to that here. So yeah, 233 looks like, and June was the most recent. Yep. Yeah, so I think certainly this is a tradable ETF. There's no doubt about it. It'll be good for options as well. And I think as part of a canary in a coal mine thing, you got to keep an eye on this one. You know, it's a
they have got a lot of reopening stocks in here and energy stocks. So if you're a believer, the reopening is going to get going and energy is going to go back up. This would make more sense.
Yep.
All right. Home Depot. Everybody likes to buy their hammer. Let's go find out what hammers are going for.
Yeah. HD looking good all across the board here, at the moment. And again, looks like it's tradable through here. And for now, strong. Yeah. And I don't know how it did after hours. It's down an hour, 1%. Or so during the daytime, but again, this would you count this as part of the reopening in and out? I don't know, but
I think it's part of the consumer spending thing. Yeah. And people, like I say, with their houses being worth so much, they have no problem improving it.
Yeah, I think this will be a perennial winner.
You got a great line in the sand there. This thing bust under $300, and I think it's adios, amigos.
Yep.
So that 291 is the 200-day, 309 is the 50-day. So there's two very good lines in the sand. If you want to hold on to it, you can do that. And then, like I say, if it were to ever take out those numbers, I would think that the weather had changed significantly.
Yep.
Yeah, because you had that nice pullback to about $300, and that's a great line in the sand now as far as a point. When you're trading, you like to have points. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And a good point is that pullback point. So,
Charles Dow is the original technician, right? And he used to compare it like the tide, the waves coming in. He'd stick a stake in the sand, and then if it goes up closer doesn't show, you stick another stake, and then you can see when it doesn't make it to that stake the next time. He was the original technical trader.
Yeah. The next one got some good news lately with their airplane business, I guess, but it's General Electric. And that, talking about a line in the sand, that number 12 looks like a darn good one to use.
Yeah,
you had a big day. You see 12 bucks is a pretty darn good line in the sand if you want to be long this thing.
Yeah, and look at today. They just down here on the DMI, they just got a buy signal. They don't have the averages set up right yet, but this was a big move up for them today, 124, sure.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the weekly here just for a moment, Tito. Yeah, pretty good on the weekly as well. So I think this looks like it's about to turn up, I would say.
Yeah, what do you
think?
And like I say, a dollar risk off of 13 doesn't sound like it's too rich. Huh?
Nope.
And if it takes out 15, maybe you go up to 18. What's 4 divided into that? It's about a 30% gain. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Of course, this is the old legacy of Jack Welch, remember? And
they've redid a lot of his quote-unquote work. And that's what this guy, Lawrence, whatever his name is, I think his name is, he's up there trying to turn water into wine, because he's got to get rid of all this junk that they bought and try to focus into businesses they can actually understand. And, and they haven't made the greatest moves. They got rid of GE Capital at the worst time. And then they got out of the energy business at the worst time. And so they have not been exactly dancing like Fred Astaire with their assets. But I think this guy seems to have whittled it down to medical and airplane stuff. And now they're a much smaller company, I think, but they also are more focused.
Yeah, I think that was like the Pentagon damn near when it was at its peak there. And that thing was so huge. How do you even manage something like that, you know?
ENPH. I have no idea what they are. Let's hit the symbol and find out who ENPH is.
Echo
energy company. Yeah.
ENPH. Okay.
ENPH. Enphase.
EN, like in November. ENPH. ENPH. Enterprise Enphase Energy. Yeah. Well, overall, it's been strong.
Company. Yeah. I'm just going to try to see if they're a, what are they into here?
Right now, it's kind of neutral. They just have, they're kind of right around the moving average. Let's take a look at the longer picture here. Yeah, these guys are solid. I mean, I don't know what they do, but they've been, they had a low of 57 back here in last August, almost a year ago, and they're at 155 now.
And what they do is they're an energy technology company headquartered in Fremont, California, designs and manufactures software-driven home energy solutions. Okay, so this is more at-home type stuff, solar generation. So again, this is a up-and-comer if you're thinking energy packs, I guess, or Generac. You know, Generac is the one that people like to buy when they get into this kind of thing. What's the symbol on Generac? Let's take a look. GENERAC. You know, they always got that commercial where the guy's out on the ranch and he didn't have to leave the ranch because he had the Generac power pack. Symbol on that one is GNRC.
Yeah, well, people have done well. You're 57 a year ago and 172 today. Was it GNRC? I'll pull that one up real quick.
GNRC.
Same looking deal on the weekly. Same 134 a year ago and 457 now. Man, oh man, look at that. Huh?
Yeah, this is, well, I'm, you know, like I say, this is what people are interested in because of, especially with the weather, huh?
Yeah.
You got a lot of weather problems out there. People are, wanting to have some kind of backup generator and stuff. So I remember what happened down in Texas. They were, drinking water out of the toilet or whatever they were doing down there. I mean, they were in trouble, right?
California. I mean, I used to live in California. I can only imagine between the fires and the virus and everything else. Oh, my goodness. You know, the rolling blackouts, PG&E. And,
Since we're talking renewable energy here, let's talk about the non-renewable called fossil fuel. Can we put up a few things? XLE, and that is...
The old energy.
That's a diversified, that's a spread out ETF.
Yeah, different look here. So I don't know what is in here dragging this thing down, but it's not those other two we just looked at.
Yeah, no, well, this is, the price of crude is up in the 70s still, but these stocks are on the defensive. I'm just saying, anything on your system here saying that we could have seen a low and it might bounce, or is it way too early for that?
Yeah, I'd say, Charlie, you're seeing a little uptrend here on the DMI, so I was heading back the right direction. Obviously, hit the lower low Bollinger there at 46, so I'd say this could be back, reverting back into better days ahead.
How about a couple of the ones that are in the OIH one, Schlumberger, SLB?
So Sierra, Lima.
Bravo.
Bravo. There we go. Same looking picture there. Yeah. Bounced off the lower Bollinger and heading back up. Yep.
And what about Halliburton, HAL?
Yeah, they're twins, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both in the same business kind of.
Yeah, and let's look at the weekly just to get the little pullback view. So yeah, I mean, longer run, these guys are looking solid with this little bit of a pullback right here. Started in about just early July.
Yeah. Yep. What about DG, the last one on the list here for these guys? DG.
Delta Golf.
Yeah.
All right. Dollar General. Yeah, they're with Home Depot, right? Looking good all the way.
And they look like they're a lot of support underneath. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've got a situation now where you can go into some of the stuff that you do, and people can get a better understanding of how you approach the markets. And I'll be quiet here while you maybe go through all your stuff. How's that sound?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Let's compare notes, because I always like learning from you. You're a master. And we have basically, I would say, let's call it three strategies. One is selling premium, option premium. So, if you look at all the stats, 75 to 80% of options expire worthless. And of course, that's a little bit misleading, but you can make an argument that option sellers have an advantage over option buyers because options are a decaying asset because of theta. I'm not a big Greek guy, but of course, theta, the decline of your option over time. So selling premiums seems like a good trade, but comes like with all trades, people tend to tout this as a no risk trade. It's not. Selling premium can be extremely dangerous, but it is high probability. So that's one thing we do. And we do that in the indexes, particularly just one, the SPX cash index, and then another one, the NDX, the NASDAQ cash index. And then we'll also sell some individual stocks, the FANGs, a little more risky, but so I feel most comfortable with the indexes. So that's what we sell. Then we do an option buying trading program. And again, I don't buy outright calls or puts because that decaying aspect we just talked about. I'd be interested to talk with you about your longer term idea for calls, because I've never done that. I've done most really shorter term things using.
I'm only using them where I think it's best. So in other words, if something if something is down in price and you think it is at a great value, but you are concerned about having risk in it beyond a certain price, and you're concerned that, like say that stock's at 117 and it went down to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the more likely you're going to be getting out.
Yep.
Now, if you had a 117 strike price and you were out in 2024 with a call spread of say 120 and 140, and you paid $2 and you've got and you did 10 of them. So you put up $2,000 and now you've got 1,000 shares at 120 and you have to give it up at 140. So you got a potential of making 20 grand on $2,000, but it doesn't expire to 2024. And you're in one of these, innovative or disruptive companies that can go through big rocky roads, but you think at the end of the day, they get in the end zone.
Right.
Well, rather than having $117 tied up and having to drink Pepto-Bismol every night as it goes up and down, you got $2,000 that is set aside, that's all you can lose. And you're good out until 2024 in this example. And if you get the move back up towards 140 or better, you've got a maximum profit of $20 on that spread, which is $20,000, because you have 1,000 shares because you did 10 of them.
Yep.
And if it goes to hell in a handbasket, you lose the $10,000. If that's all you've got, maybe you incorporate that short-term loss into your tax picture, because I think you can still do $3,000 a year against.
Right. $3,000 still it. Yeah.
So, that's the way, like I say, I've been doing this for decades. When I look at a situation and I have an inventory of strategies, I look at it just like a carpenter would look at his inventory of tools and try to find one that would put him in the best light as far as trying to make money, but even more importantly, trying to watch your bankroll doesn't go down very much on any one idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that. I've never done that. That's why I always like learning from you. So we sell premium, we do the short-term vertical debit spreads, basically wanting to do what the stock does, only in a leverage kind of way. And then the third thing is iron condors. That's the only kind of fancy spread we do. And if you do those correctly, I think they have a lot of opportunity. And so I think you diversify strategies like you just described, and then we diversify assets again. So I have a big tech here is on my watch list. We also do, we look at the shorts, because I think there's some real opportunity. We got to be nimble in the most shorted area. The Reddit guys caught onto that, of course. And then pretty plain Jane stuff, the IBD, the IBD 50, the IBD long-term winners, and you just use those basically accelerating and amplifying what you could make doing the stock itself. So I think that's what we're doing. And tell me a little more about what you're up to, because I would like to ask.
Well, there's one thing that I'm interested in. I want to get your take on it because it's kind of a big thing as far as I'm concerned. I've been monitoring a theory that says that when yields peak on the treasury, within 2 to 4 months, the stock market peaks. And I noticed, let's put up TLT. That's going to establish that yields have peaked. Yep. So can you get a chart there?
Want a longer one?
We get minus the indicators?
Let me see if I can pull that up here real quick. Hang on a second. There you go.
Okay, so there's just a chart on...
I can go back to a longer time frame too. Let me go back to
We want to go back to March. Actually, if you just go back 2 years, it'd be fine.
That's 2 years back. Yeah.
Okay, so you can see right before, watch way over to the left, you'll notice that in November, December, January, February, this is where TLT in 2019 going into 2020, that's where TLT bottoms, right?
Right.
And TLT bottoms here, and then it starts going up, which means rates are dropping, yields are dropping going into February, right? And then they accelerated up in when we had the crash, right?
Yep.
Well, look here, we're back here in March, which is where yields peaked, right? Because when this bottoms, that means yields peaked. Yep. And what have we been doing since yields peaked in March? Those yields have been dropping and people are wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go over to the S&P graph and see if we might know why. Remember right before the last big drop, we had that?
Yep.
Okay, so yields are dropping during, go over to the left again on 2019, on the S&P. Yeah. And you can see on 2019, November, where the yields are dropping, the stock market continued to go up. So after interest rates peaked, yields peaked in earlier, the yields are dropping, but the market keeps rallying. And then within 4 months, bam. Yep. So again, we have yields that peaked. Let's go to current time. We have yields that peaked in March. There's the bottom where yields peaked. And then while the yields have peaked, what has the stock market done? It's gone way up, even though yields have peaked, right?
Interesting.
And now you are at a point where you're in the fourth month.
Yep.
And so if this market in August starts coming down and if it takes out 42.25, I think that people should be very concerned that there could be something going on.
Yeah, and I would agree.
Can you put up the transportation average?
Yeah, I think I can. I know the ETF.
This might be good. This is the same. It's a proxy for it. It's a proxy for it.
There we go.
Okay. Can you see, again, the idea is that between 2 and 4 months, the markets peak after yields peak. Well, 2 months after March is May. And can you see the transports peaked out in May?
Yeah. And that's the divergence we were talking about, transports versus the...
Or it's leading. In other words, within 2 months, your transports had peaked after yields peaked.
Yeah.
And then if this stock market peaks here in July and in August, we see a down month, I would say that people should find out where their raincoat is.
Yeah, I would
agree. It's a big if, because we're on the all-time high. But if we started taking out 4,200 rather than getting a faraway look in your eye after I just explained why it might be going on, because, obviously the bond market are not stupid.
No, they're the smartest guys in the world, right?
And they're plowing money into bonds and people can't figure out why, because inflation's big, growth is big. What the heck are they buying bonds for?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they are hedging themselves against something that's going to happen 2 to 4 months after they peak.
Yeah, I would subscribe to that as well. And I think we've talked about this before, the Buffett indicator, wildly overbought.
Well, like I said, we all know this is a very overvalued market. We know that, right?
Huge. Everybody knows that, right?
So if it did go down, everybody after the fact is going to say what?
Yeah, of course.
We knew it was a high. We knew this would happen.
Yeah. Here's the cool thing. If you're a trader or an option trader or a regular trader like we are, this could be a generational opportunity. I mean, I've read crazy things like NASDAQ's going to lose 80%. If you're on the right side of that move, that's a generational opportunity. opportunity. That's how I look at it. I'm not afraid of this. I'm looking at this as like, holy crap.
Well, like I say, I mean, if you start seeing a truck coming at you, you start making adjustments in your stance. You know what I mean?
Yep, yeah.
But I mean, again, this is premature from the standpoint of the prices haven't already turned. But as you saw from the transports and you saw what UPS yesterday or today, did you see what UPS did? Put up UPS stock.
Yeah, pull it up real quick. Oh, yeah.
It's not like I'm whistling in the dark here. I already have price evidence that the interest rates are dropping. I already have price evidence that the transports have peaked. And I got price evidence that they don't want to own UPS at 220 anymore.
Yeah, down almost 7% today. These are big items. I mean, everybody's got to wake up. You know, we've been just eating the Fed punch bowl here since the last big meltdown. You know, and so we had a big meltdown in 2000. We had a big meltdown in 08, right? And now here on 21. And maybe the only reason this one's gone farther is because of the Fed and things change. You know, it could be the third big meltdown. I read all kinds of, I'm sure you read the same guys. You know,
but I'm not interested in predictions. I'd like to see some price confirmation. And so where would you get your price confirmation? I think it would definitely come if you took out 42.25, which is the low we got last Monday.
Let me put this in here just to bring that up again.
It wouldn't be at least confirmation that Rome is starting to smell like fire.
Let me put this here. You're talking about right here, this low of this candle right here. I like it, man. I think that's smart. Everybody's got to keep their eyes open. I would definitely say.
And again, I don't know if you can put up the RSI, but is RSI diverging up here? Because you obviously just made a new high. Is RSI not making a new high? Because that's another indicator that would indicate that we're running out of steam up here.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get it up quick here. Let me see if I can real quick. This is exciting times. I mean, and there's always opportunity, right? You know, danger and opportunity come together, right?
No doubt.
They arrive hand in hand. So RSI, add selected, apply. So let's see, that's RSI at the bottom here. So obviously it was overbought there, came down a little, went up, now turning back south. So yeah, this is cool. I mean, and then seasonality, you know.
Okay, so there's the RSI. Is that diverging or what?
Yep.
So, you know, like I say, the jury's still out, but they're definitely acting as if they're ready to make a verdict.
Yeah.
And August, and like I say, a lot of people are saying September and October are going to be very rough months. Well, if you had trillions and billions of dollars under management and somebody tells you, you know, Hurricane Andrew might be coming in September and October, you're going to start fading out in August.
Yeah, you're going to start leaving town, right?
You don't want to be the last guy out of the Keys. You know what I mean? There's only one road out, right?
Yeah, and you got the Fed at the end of August. That Jackson Hole is always a big thing. They're talking this inflation.
And that's why the Fed is in no hurry to move, because why would they be in no hurry to move? Because they know that if another problem happens with shutting things down or whatever, they're going to have to supply funds, and you'd look like a moron if you were tapering one day and adding the next.
You can't buy excitement like this. These are unprecedented times, Jim. It's a great time to be alive. You have to look at, I'm always looking for opportunity, as you are, and there's lots of opportunity.
Well, let's tell John everybody how they can get your information, and then we'll go from there.
All right, David, you want to just put the link up? That'd be great. Just tradinggods.net. Easiest thing to do is sign up for the free ebook. That gets you on our email list. We send out two emails a day. Got a great writer, you know, general market and option stuff. We do a webinar on Saturdays. We have some different membership programs. You join one of those. We do a members webinar Monday night usually. And so lots of ways, you know, just like Jim, we're like-minded people. We learn from each other. We grow together. It's just a cool, fun thing to do.
That's great. Now, anybody who'd like to get on our mailing list for optionprofessor.com, just go over to the website, optionprofessor.com, and put in your email. And then every week you'll get an update of what I'm looking at as far as everything from income investing to growth investing to speculation to international. Since I've been doing it for decades, it's not heavy lifting for me to review everything and come up with an opinion. So, try to give a lot of good information out each and every week, optionprofessor.com. And then again, just throw in your email. Hey, John, it's always great to talk to you, because your angle is different than my angle. And then when, you know, people can find a little bit of different ways to skin the cat here a little bit. So I think that's a lot of value that we bring to the table.
No, it's great fun to talk, and we learn a lot from each other. And I think, it's all good. And appreciate these opportunities.
Okay. Back to you, David. And thank you everybody for being here today.
Thanks, Prof.
All right. Thanks, guys. Lots of good, covered a lot of stocks today, a lot of information. So Just a quick reminder to everyone to close out the show. Please be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive as soon as I can get posted, as well as all the past shows and events. And just want to thank my guests again for today, John Nayarati of TradingGods.net and the Option Professor at OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, guys. Really great. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Take care.